Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So today I'd like to talk about the crucifixion. Well, we know that the Quranic perspective is that Allah Ta'ala says regarding this idea that Jesus was crucified, Allah says, "Wa inna alladhina ikhtalafu fihi lafi shakkin minhu ma lahum bihi min ilmin illa ittiba'a dhann." That those who differ over it, or over this issue of crucifixion or the killing of Jesus, are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following of assumption. So let's see if that's true. Is it true what Allah says that, look, they're not actually certain about the death and the crucifixion of Jesus? Let's take a look. Well, first and foremost, it's important to mention that when Christians say, well, the mission of Jesus was to take the sins of mankind on the cross, if that's true, if being crucified was the mission of Jesus, how did he complete his mission before the crucifixion? That's a pretty important question. Because Jesus is the one who says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So you want to know what eternal life is, you want to know what the mission is, to understand that there is the only true God is to know you, God, and to know that Jesus Christ is the one that you have sent, which is like literally, La ilaha illallah wa Isa Rasulullah. It's really exactly like the kalima of there is no God but God, or the one true God, and that we'd say Muhammad Rasulullah, but at the time of Jesus, it would be Isa Rasulullah, and at the time of Moses, it would be Musa Rasulullah. So recognizing God and recognizing his prophet, the one that lives, the one that is closest to you. And then he says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So the fact that Jesus is alive, not crucified, he's saying, I have done this job of conveying this idea that there is no deity worthy of worship except you, God, and that I am his messenger. He seems to have conveyed that message, and he says, I've finished the work that you gave me to do. So it is complete. It seems that his mission was to teach the world about God and his messenger, and that he finished it. So if he wasn't crucified yet, why was he talking about having finished the work? Furthermore, who witnessed the crucifixion? Because Allah said that they are in ikhtilaf, ikhtalafu, that they differ about this issue. Well, what's interesting is that in Mark 14:50, and Mark again is the earliest gospel, what does it say? It says, then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. So if all the disciples left him, who witnessed the crucifixion? So when Jesus was actually, you know, arrested, put on trial, and in this position of being persecuted, if all of his disciples ran away, then how can we claim that we have reliable testimony if all the believers weren't there to see what actually took place? Who carried the cross? And we find differences of opinion here. Was it Jesus or Simon of Cyrene? So in John 19:7 it says, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. But in Matthew 27:31-32, it goes into detail saying, after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. So it seems here that Jesus is being helped to carry the cross in Matthew. So who's right? Did he carry it by himself, or did he get help? So that seems to be an issue. Well, it seems pretty fair to say that they wouldn't know if the disciples all ran away. Did Jesus die before the curtain was torn, or after the curtain was torn? And it depends on which gospel you read. In Mark, it says what? Mark 15:37-38. It says, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. So he breathed his last. That means he died. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So you see that he breathes his last, and then the temple curtain is torn. But in Luke 23:45-46, it says, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. So you find that he dies after the temple curtain was torn. What else do we have? Did Jesus ascend to heaven the day of crucifixion? Yes or no? So it depends on which gospel you read. In Luke 23:43, it says, Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So he's describing himself ascending to paradise on the day of his crucifixion. But then 2 days after the crucifixion, you find in the gospel of John 20:17, it says what? Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. I haven't ascended yet. So He says, I'm going to ascend today. 2 days go by. He says, I still haven't ascended yet. So have you ascended? Have you not ascended? Now I know the Christian could probably say, well, if he's God, then he's everywhere all the time. Well, if that is the case, then why would you say, I have not yet ascended to the Father yet? If you're everywhere all the time, then this type of language is confusing. Furthermore, when Jesus was crucified, when was Jesus crucified? The question is either 9 a.m. or in the afternoon. So we find in Mark 15, 25, it says what? It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. Okay, seems pretty straightforward. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. But then you have in John 19, 14 to 16, it says, it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So you see, it's noon. And then everybody's yelling at him and they have this conversation. And then he goes, then he's being sent to be crucified. So which one is it? Was he crucified at 9 in the morning or a little bit after noon? Depends on which gospel you read. So again, when Allah says that they just differ about these things, you can see that they're differing about these things. You can see the gospels are literally differing. Let's keep going. Was he crucified on a Thursday or a Friday? Even bigger than what hour? It's what day? It's a really big question. So we know that the month of Nisan, that's the name of the Jewish month, or the Jewish calendar, the name of the month. And on the 14th was, because you know that in both Islamic calendar and also in the Jewish calendar, that the day doesn't start at midnight. It starts when? It starts at sundown. So they say that Wednesday night, going through all the night and then all the way to Thursday morning, that is considered the 14th of Nisan, which is the day of sacrifice, also known as the day of preparation. Oh, excuse me, the preparation for Passover, the day of sacrifice. Because Passover is a meal you eat, and the day prior to that, you slaughter the animals and you prepare the meal, and then the next day you eat it. And yeah, that's the 15th. The 15th would start on Thursday night and then go all the way over to Friday day. That's the day of the Passover meal. I've made one red and one green to make it obvious. So what you find is that John says it happened on Thursday. This is the Gospel of John makes it clear that Jesus was crucified on the day of sacrifice. He says it in John 19, 14 to 16. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here's your king, Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king other than Caesar. The chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So there you have it. It's on the day of sacrifice. Now the question is, why does the Gospel of John insist on Thursday? Why on the day of sacrifice? Because John is the only gospel that calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Therefore, having the crucifixion on the day of sacrifice fits. Why? Because he's the one that has in his book right at the beginning in John 1, 29 and also John 1, 35 to 36. You have twice that John the Baptist is the one saying, look, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God. So clearly, he's always calling him at the beginning. He's foreshadowing and saying, you're the Lamb of God. And the Lamb is meant for the slaughter, for the sacrifice. And then so he insists that it happened on Thursday. The only problem is that John is the latest gospel. And earlier gospels, like for example, right here we have in Luke and in Matthew, we see that it was actually the next day. The next day when they were going to eat their Passover meal. And that's the Synoptic Gospels are clear that Jesus ate the Passover meal, which is a Thursday night, then was arrested and crucified on Friday. So it says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So they're asking, you want us to eat this Passover meal? So if he was already crucified the day prior when they were preparing the meal, then he couldn't be eating it or yeah. So he replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. So this is now saying the next day. So earlier, he was supposed to be sacrificed on the day when they were slaughtering the animals and preparing the meals. Now he's eating the meal and he's telling his disciples while they eat this Passover meal that one of you is going to betray me. So which one is it? Which day was he sacrificed on? You have difference of opinion. Same thing with Luke 22, 14 to 15 says what? When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So if he was killed on the day of preparation, then he couldn't be eating the Passover meal. If he's eating the Passover meal, that means he was sacrificed after it. So two different days that he was sacrificed on. And again, you see why the earlier Gospels have one idea, but then it seems that John shifted it because he really wanted to insist that he is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. So he had him sacrificed on the day that the lambs were sacrificed, for the symmetry of it all, you could say. Jesus prays to be saved. This is kind of important that you have three different instances in all three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You find that Jesus prays, take this cup from me. That he prays, you know, to take this cup away from me, take this cup away from me. He's earnestly praying. And so this is in Mark 14, Matthew 26, Luke 22. He prays over and over and over again to be saved from this punishment. I don't want to deal with this. Take this cup away from me. Now, what's interesting about this is that when we take a look at the prayer of Jesus, we see that in John 11, 41 to 42, it says what? Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. So you have three times Jesus praying to be saved from being this passion sequence, as they call it, being sacrificed on the cross. But so he prays three times to be saved from that, and then he says, my prayers are always heard. And to make it even more clear, in Hebrews 5:7, what does it say? It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Does that mean that God heard him and ignored him? Does that mean he was praying that he wouldn't be slaughtered and he was slaughtered, even though it says that God heard him? What does this mean? It seems that it's saying he prayed to be saved from this terrible punishment. He prayed for it three times. His prayers are always heard. And then it specifically says in Hebrews that he prayed for it and it was heard. Why? Because of his reverent submission. He was such a good believer that God saved him from this punishment. Furthermore, if that's still not enough for you, Psalms 26 specifically says that it was prophesied by David alayhissalam, Dawood alayhissalam, that the Messiah, the Anointed One, will be miraculously saved. It says it. It says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. So does it make sense that God punishes him the worst punishment and then says, oh, don't worry, that was me saving you? No. Saving him means saving him. So, and if really that's still not enough for you, how amazing is this? The word for saved, as in saved by God, in Hebrew is Yeshua, which literally is the name of Jesus. So when Muslims are the ones saying that we believe Jesus was saved from the crucifixion, his name means that he was saved. The Psalms in the Old Testament, David, the prophet, predicted that the Messiah would be saved. Jesus prayed to be saved. And he said, my prayers are always accepted. And it says also in Hebrews that his prayers were heard. And so when the Muslims say this, it's not that crazy of an idea. And if that's still not enough for you, let's keep going. There are early Christian sources that say Jesus was replaced on the cross. So it's not just that, you know, some Christians, they'll say, well, why would Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why would this prophet Muhammad claim, 600 years later, that he had better knowledge of the people at the time? Well, actually, there are early Gospels that do talk about him being replaced. This is in the Gospel of Barnabas that says Judas Iscariot replaces Jesus on the cross. So that's one Gospel. It's not in the canon. It's not in the standardized canon of the Bible, but it still is early sources. And it shows that there were early Christians that actually believe this. They believe that Jesus was replaced on the cross. So this isn't something that was only made up 600 years later by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, that's not true. Early Christians did believe it. Same thing you find in the Treatise of the Great Seth. Simon of Cyrene replaced Jesus on the cross. And also in the Gospel of Basilides, Simon of Cyrene replaced Jesus on the cross. So there are a number of sources that have this concept. Furthermore, some Christians say that Abraham's sacrifice was foreshadowing. You know, Abraham had to sacrifice his son, but then later on he was... it was replaced by the animal. Well, what's interesting is that in that story, if you were to take it that way, what's interesting is that if Abraham's sacrifice was a foreshadowing of what happened to Jesus, my question is, was the son sacrificed or substituted? He wasn't sacrificed. He was actually substituted. So that story cannot be foreshadowing of the sacrifice of the son by the father, Rather, the son was substituted, which is the Islamic narrative, because you do have a father and a son in that story, Abraham and his son. I know the Jews say that it was Isaac, and the Muslims say it was Ishmael. That's not the point. The point is that you do have a father and a son, and the idea that he's about to sacrifice his son, but then you do have what? Substitution. So the idea that somebody else was put on the cross seems pretty reasonable. And finally, I mean, the most obvious issue is if you do believe this whole concept, this whole idea that Jesus was sacrificed on the cross and died for your sins, then that would mean that Jesus died. And if you believe that Jesus is God, that means you believe that God died. And in 1 Timothy 1:17, it literally says, "Now the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen." So how can Jesus be God who is described as immortal and yet he died? I mean, the word immortal means to not, you know, mortality means that the ability to die. Immortal means you can't die. So how can you say that God is immortal and that he died for your sins? If he's immortal, he can't die. So that's it for today. Take care. Assalamu alaikum.